patience this morning. It's nice to see everyone here. This morning, our scripture reading comes from Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. While you're turning there, I have entitled this morning's message, Following the Example of Jesus. Give you just a moment. I will be reading from the ESV. Beginning with verse 31 of the 8th chapter of Mark, the gospel writer records for us, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Let's take a moment and pray before we begin to look into the scriptures. Father in heaven, tender-hearted ruler of all that we see and do not see, please give understanding to our minds and convictions to our soul, sight to the eyes of our heart as we consider the words, your words to your redeemed family this morning. We offer our request to you in the name of the Son, our Lord Christ Jesus. The last 2 years of this pandemic has touched everyone in some way or another, and it's taken something from all of us in some way or another. We've all lost something, and we've all been touched by it. In fact, it's had some unexpected consequences. We're now suffering inflation that we haven't seen in over 40 years. And it would appear that 2022 is going to offer just as much as the last 2 years have offered in suffering and surprises in life. Suffering is not something we're good at, even though we've all had a lifetime of practice at it. We just don't do it very well. And I think it's times like this that we need to look to the example of our Lord Christ Jesus as found in the Gospels. You see, one thing we need to understand about the Gospels, the Gospel writers, when they wrote about Jesus, Jesus does two things. He shows us God. We get a very up-close and personal look at who God is. We see how God in the person of Jesus interacts with people, how he relates to people, how he loves people. But at the same time, we get to see a true portrait of humanity. We see God the Son in the person of the Lord Christ Jesus, who is a human, acting as a human, relating to people and to God in the perfect way in which God envisioned and created people to be before our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed and we all inherited a corrupted nature, a self-centered nature that hurts others at our expense. But yet, when we look at Jesus, we get to see what it really means to be a human. And I think too often it's easy for us to overlook that. The Gospels present Jesus as both God and man. He's 200%, 100% God and 100% man. But sometimes it's easy for us, and if we look even throughout church history, for people to go to one extreme or the other, and that is to overemphasize Jesus' divinity and underemphasize his humanity, or vice versa, to overemphasize his humanity and ignore his divinity. But I think as serious students of the scriptures and as members of God's redeemed family, we need to understand that Jesus is equally both, and that we don't fall into the temptation to think of Jesus as anything less or anything other than a man. And it's hard. So when Jesus is doing miracles, is Jesus as God doing miracles, or is Jesus as a man doing miracles? I think the scripture reveals that it is Jesus the man and Jesus the God. Just like when Jesus was sitting down eating, was that God eating or was that a man eating? It was both, God and man eating. And so when we look at the subject of Jesus, especially in the Gospels, they present Jesus in everyday situations and they present Jesus suffering. He suffers from the same things that we do. He had friends and family that died. He knows what it's like to lose family to death. And we can't really look and say, well, he's God, so he knows where they're at and everything's okay. He knows there's going to be a resurrection. No, he knew and experienced the heartbreak. Of losing someone close to him to death. The prophet Isaiah called Jesus a man of sorrows. And I think that Jesus could understand suffering and loss and death much better than we could, because we have no frame of reference. Our whole life is, ever since we were born, our history as a human race is immersed in suffering, violence, death, disease, and illness. We don't know what it's like to live without the consequences and the corruption of disobedience and moral failure of sin before God. But Jesus knows what it's like because he created a perfect world in which his beloved creation people could live and thrive. He has a frame of reference to what good is. We do not. And so today, in our scripture reading this morning, the gospel writer shows us how our Lord Christ Jesus handled suffering. As I said, Jesus encounters suffering on a mental and physical level, just like all of us, except I would opine then in a much deeper way, because he understands how things ought to be. We don't have that comprehension, that frame of reference. This included both mental and physical suffering. Jesus endured suffering. But yet, I think it's important that we look to see how Jesus endured suffering. And I think we can learn from him how to suffer well if we follow his example. What we see from our scripture readings this morning, from the passage that I read and from our passage that we read together, we can see that Jesus endured suffering with the trust that God would take care of him. He had a reliance on God that no matter what happened, God would be there to take care of him. He also served God through his suffering with humility. We never see Jesus becoming angry or bitter or resentment or becoming or having resentment towards people or towards God because he suffered. But we see a humility that stays with him in his sufferings towards both people and towards God. And in obedience, he suffered. He endured suffering with obedience to God. And again, I want to draw your attention to the fact that don't fall into the temptation to say, well, he was God, he knew everything would work out. You have to understand that Jesus is a man. And how did Jesus come to know God? How did he come to trust in God? How did he understand obedience and humility? He learned it. Where did he learn it from? He learned it from the scriptures, the same way that we do. So our Lord Christ Jesus knew that he could trust God to take care of him in his time of suffering. How did Jesus, again, I ask you, how did Jesus know God would take care of him? Jesus learned the trustworthy nature of God's character from the scriptures. Jesus learned the scriptures the same way that we did. Well, actually, we even have an advantage over Jesus. And that is all of us here have at least one copy of the scriptures. All of us that have a smartphone have endless copies of the scripture in every language and every translation available for free at the touch of a finger. But Jesus did not. Where did Jesus learn the scriptures? He learned them in the synagogue. People didn't have their own copy of the scriptures. So Jesus learned the scriptures. He learned about the trustworthy nature of God the same way that we do. By going to synagogue every week, by coming together and worshiping God with God's redeemed people. And he learned from life itself, from life experience. And this is how we come to know and experience, or know and understand the character of God, the trustworthiness of God. We know it from the scriptures, and we know it from our own life. And this is how Jesus came to know it. So he's a lot like us, more like us, I think, than we realize. Listen to the gospel writer here. And Jesus increased in wisdom, and it was his custom, and as his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up and read. That comes from Luke 2:52 and Luke 4:16. Jesus knew the Bible and that he belonged to God and that God would see him through his sufferings. And I think when it comes time, when we are in time of suffering, that we don't become resentful. And it's easy for us to become resentful, to become frustrated, especially what we've been through in the last 2 years, where things just seem to drag on and on. And then you see the same people that you're friends with and your family, coworkers, they get sick not once, but twice with COVID, maybe even three times. And we're thinking, when is this thing going to go away? It's easy for us to become resentful. But if we follow the example of Jesus, we can be like him. And I know some of you might be thinking that to yourself, that's easy because Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus belongs to God. He is God. But I want to encourage you to know that we can have the same trust and confidence that Jesus had in God because we belong to God too. You are just as important to God as Jesus is. You are an honored member of his redeemed family. Sometimes it's hard for us to think of ourselves as being worthy of God's love and his affection because we know that we disobey God, that we live in a selfish state of sin, that we're always doing things contrary to what God wants. But it is important for us to know that we belong to God and that we're just as important to God as Jesus is and that he has welcomed you into his redeemed family and will care and take care of us. Listen to what the Spirit is saying today. Your life is hidden in Christ, in God. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Colossians 3:3, Gospel of John 10:20. We see that the scripture itself testifies. He gives a witness to us that we belong to Jesus. The scripture says that our life is now in Christ and is hidden in God. Think of it this way. This is how attached, how safe and secure you are in God. You're doubly secure. It's as if somebody put you in a fireproof box and then put you into a safe. We're in Christ, hidden away in God. We are tucked into the deepest corner of God's heart. And we can rely on Him and follow the example of Jesus and trust Him through our sufferings that He will take care of us. And it could be that it won't be in the way that we expect, but God will not let you go. We see here that also that Jesus, He served God with humility. In the middle of His suffering, Jesus served God with humility. And we see this, He served Him with humility as both high priest and sacrifice. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our high priest and our sacrifice. Jesus served God by advocating on His behalf to make Him known to us and His plan of redemption. And Jesus serves us, advocating for us in our moral failures. Jesus serves as our sacrifice. It was through His sufferings that He took away our moral failure. He took away our corrupt heart, and He gave us a new heart, a pure heart. He gave us His purity, and He has reunited us to God. And while He was suffering as the sacrifice, He did this with humility. Remember the scripture, the Carmen Christi, the ancient Christian hymn that is found in Philippians chapter 2, that He became obedient even to death on the cross, being found in appearance as man, being made in human likeness. He humbled Himself and became a servant. So we see that it is with humility that God the Son suffered for on our behalf. He left the contentment, the purity, and the perfection of heaven and shared in our sufferings, a voluntary sharing in our sufferings. Very few people volunteer to suffer. Jesus volunteered to suffer. And the reason He did, He entered into our suffering so that we could enjoy His life. We recall that the scripture tells us that if you sin, you die. The wages of sin is death. When you disobey God, you earn a death sentence. Jesus was pure. He never disobeyed God. His heart was pure. He didn't have a corrupt nature that drove Him to protect Himself and injure others. But He volunteered to share in that death sentence for us so that we can share in His life. And He did this with humility, not with resentment, but with humility in the middle of His suffering. And again, it's easy for us to think that, that's good because Jesus knew God's will. Jesus was perfect, so He knew God's will. He knew that when He was suffering, it was because that's what God wanted Him to do. But I would remind you that, again, I'm sorry, yeah, that After all, the Bible does make it clear that Jesus is the Savior and that everybody who repents and believes in Jesus. And so Jesus knew that he would have to suffer and die. But the question is then how do we serve God with humility? And the Bible is clear that God wants his redeemed family So just as in the scripture we find God's will for Jesus as our high priest, as our sacrifice, we also, I can tell you that the scripture reveals God's will for us. And it's not something, it's not this elusive thing that we have to find. Who is the perfect person for us to marry? What car do we buy? Where do we work at? But God has a stated will in the scriptures for all of us. He has a desire, a way in which he wants us to live. He has a purpose for us. The Bible is clear. Listen to what the Bible says, speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from the lawlessness and to purify for himself people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Titus 2:14, Ephesians 2:10. What the Bible shows us and speaks to us is why God saved us. God didn't save you so you could go to heaven and be with him. That's a benefit, but he saved you so that you would be anxious and willing to do good works. So just like Jesus, who knew that he would have to suffer and die because the scripture says so, the scripture tells us what God's will for us is, and that is that we do good works, that he recreated us in Jesus to do good works. What are the good works that Jesus created us to do? That is to love God and to serve and love our neighbor. God created us so that we would live a life that would enrich our neighbors, not ourselves. Unfortunately, we've been corrupted by our disobedience to the point where we use people to enrich our lives. God created us to love people and use things. What do? We turn around and in our corruption and in our short-sightedness and our selfishness, we tend to love objects and use people. So we see that we are here, that we too have a purpose to live, and that we know that in our life we will suffer. We will suffer because we simply live in a world of suffering as a result of sin. We suffer because of poor mistakes we make. We suffer because we take a moral stand to side with God. We suffer for many reasons, but we can still follow the example of Jesus and continue to serve God with humility in our sufferings, not giving ourselves over to resentment or anger or self-pity. So when we find ourselves suffering, let's emulate our Lord Christ Jesus, who continued to serve God with a humble attitude, being faithful to endure hardship. So again, being like Jesus, we need to understand that we can trust God when we're suffering, and even when we don't understand why this is going on or why we're suffering. And we can continue to serve God by enriching the lives of our neighbors and being faithful to worship him alone with an attitude of humility, not becoming resentful to our neighbor or to God because we are going through a time of suffering. And we see also that Jesus continued in obedience to God in the middle of his suffering. The scripture reading tells us that our Lord was under physical distress. In the Gospel of Luke, it tells us that it begins to describe Jesus standing up under this immense mental pressure of the suffering he was going through and the suffering he was going to go through, and also the suffering that he knew his closest friends were going to go through. And it was so much that his physical body begins to break down. We see that it talks about him. He falls to the ground. He's unable to stand up. Luke says that he's sweating profusely. He uses a simile, as or like. You remember those in school? As and like. There are some preachers who have made a lot of nothing out of Jesus sweating blood. Jesus didn't sweat blood. The scripture uses a simile. As, in the original language, what we see here is Luke is using a simile, saying that Jesus was under so much stress, he's beginning to sweat like he had a gaping wound, like someone who had a gaping wound, a severe wound, losing blood. His sweat was just pouring out of him. He was under so much duress. So even under this, in the middle of his suffering, we still see that he was obedient to God. As the ancient church hymn said, that he became obedient even to death, even death on the cross. So we see that Jesus, through all of this, he stayed faithful to God in the middle of his suffering. He was obedient to what God had called him to. And we see earlier, too, in Jesus' life, and these are just examples. There are other, I'm sure that there are other experiences in Jesus' life where he suffered. The gospel writers didn't tell us, but they focus on important events in Jesus' life. Remember when Jesus went into the wilderness and he didn't eat anything for 40 days? I don't know, I go 6 hours without eating. I become grumpy and irritable. But yet we see our Lord continue to be obedient and refusing to use his divinity to turn stones into bread to satisfy his hunger. And after 40 days, it's just not that his stomach is growling, but he's probably losing muscle and protein. His body, I would imagine, after 40 days, is beginning to cannibalize itself and eating the protein from his muscles. So it's a very weakened condition that Jesus is in, and yet he stays obedient to God. The death on the cross, again, this is a public execution. And it happened on the main road going into Jerusalem, sort of as a public service announcement. If you break our laws, this is what happens to you. So everybody walking into Jerusalem that day would see Jesus hanging on the cross, not on this big hill, not 6 feet up in the air, but just a few inches off the ground, just right above eye level. He would have been stripped of all his clothes, and this public, and yet he was obedient not only to the physical agony of the cross, but all the stigma and the mental suffering that came from that as well, as being a victim of a miscarriage of justice, and being put on display for a public service announcement with a slow and agonizing death. Yet through all this, we see that our Lord remained obedient to God in his suffering. Our Lord obeyed God with trust and humility because he knew God and he knew God's power. He knew that everything God was doing was for a purpose, and that purpose was for our redemption. What God was doing was for his, what Jesus was doing, it, God was doing was for the redemption of his people and for their benefit. Jesus was obedient because he saw, he knew the greatness and the splendor and the loving kindness of God's plan to rescue his people from the corruption and destruction of our sins. Listen to the testimony of the Bible. The Bible here testifies to Jesus' obedience here through his suffering. Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, or at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:3. The reason Jesus was obedient to God was because he knew God. He knew God's loving kindness. He knew that God, he knew and he shared in God's tender-hearted compassion towards humanity. He knew and understood the power of God. And where did he get this understanding from? The same place that we do. Through reading the scriptures and through his experience in life, he knew the power of God. We too, with the eyes of our heart, our reliance on God gives us, we can also. The foresight, what we need to do is we need to keep our hearts and our minds focused on the completion of God's work of salvation and that long anticipated day when our Lord Christ Jesus will return and make all things right. He will gather his people together. He will remake the earth to a suitable place where he can live with his people forever. And so just like Jesus was keeping his eye on what God was doing and the finished work of God's redemption, we too need to emulate Jesus and keep ourselves focused on the completion of our salvation. When we will not be left in the grave, but we will be raised up from the dead, so that not even death can separate us from each other or from God, but we'll get a new body that doesn't have eyeglasses, dentures, fillings, stents, any kind of artificial. We'll have all 32 of our teeth, our eyes, and our ears will hear perfectly. God will raise us up and we'll get all the original equipment. And that is the promise to which Jesus looked to, and that is the promise to which we need to look to. And it is that promise that will bring into focus and understanding and perspective the suffering that we are experiencing now. It won't last forever, and God has a better place and a better future for us. In Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says that, referring to the Son, he said, he upholds the world by his power. With that, it's talking about more than Jesus just being the agent of creation or Jesus holding the physical world together, creation together. But it talks about Jesus by the word of his power that he is guiding the world to his desired end. And his desired end and for his purpose and God's purpose is always for our benefit and for his splendor and his greatness. So just like Jesus, when he was facing the cross, experiencing the mistrial or the the miscarriage of justice, the corporal punishment of being flogged, being nailed to a cross and serving as a public service announcement for the Romans as people walked into Jerusalem that day. He kept his eye not on the suffering, but on the completion of God's promise, redemption. And we too, in our time of suffering, need to stay focused and allow our faith to give us that foresight, to see that day. Now we see with the eyes of our heart, but there's coming a time when we will see with our own physical eyes the promise of our redemption. And in this way, we can continue to be obedient to God, not becoming frustrated, not wanting to give up, but knowing that God is not done yet and that we can look towards that future day. So moving forward from this morning, moving forward into 2022, when we're not sure what it's going to have for us, or even the years ahead, I'm confident of one thing, and I am confident that all of us here today will be able to endure suffering. Suffering well, suffering with grace, suffering like our Lord Christ Jesus did, trusting God to take care of us as we serve Him with humility and obedience, relying on God because we have come to know and understand His power. From the Bible, because it is by faith that we believe and obey and live a godly life, knowing that God is moving this present world along to His desired end for His splendor and our benefit. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Brother Keith, for